Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Are you a Henry? It stands for high earner, not rich yet. It means that despite earning a six-figure income, you're struggling to amass any meaningful nest egg. Our friends at The Motley Fool can help. Since 1993, they've been providing investment advice, helping members build the financial future they envision. To kickstart your 2021 financial goals, they're offering 5 of their favorite stock picks for free. Realizing you're a Henry? Remember the not rich yet part. You can do it, and The Motley Fool can help. Visit fool.com/bestbets.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
You're listening to the Sports Grid Network.
Let it rain!
You remember the class where I taught y'all how to make it rain?
Make it rain.
Dollar, dollar bills, y'all.
All right, here we go. Buckle up here on a Wednesday. It is October 30th, 2019. And never in the world of sports and sports investing are there two better words to wake up to than Game 7, which is exactly what we are going to be treated to tonight in the World Series. Can't believe it. Major League Baseball World Series Game 7. Do or die, winner take all. World Championship at stake, and it is going to be a hell of a lot of fun given, well, how we got to this spot to begin with, because Game 6 was a lot of things. Not interesting or boring, I don't think, is our words that you will ever hear to describe what happened in that game last night. Unbelievable, guys. And how great is that last night? It didn't really have to compete with anything. I mean, who the hell wants to watch an 80-year-old LeBron James play basketball anyway? So that wasn't really exciting. This was it. This was the only game on in town there yesterday, and I can't wait to see what the ratings were. And more importantly, I can't wait to see after the outcome and all the buzz from last night, what are the ratings going to be for Game 7 tonight? Again, not going up against a whole lot nationally. Regionally, you'll have a much more basketball on the card here tonight. But this was, in just about every way, it delivered on every front. If you were watching it from pitch one, you couldn't take your eyes off of it. And if you made it or just happened to turn on the game somewhere around the fifth or sixth inning, yeah, you were treated to drama upon drama upon more drama. And ultimately, when it was all said and done, you've got two guys that heads and tails above everybody else that have delivered on a stage more consistently than anybody else on the field, that being Steven Strasburg and Anthony Rendon, who ironically happens to be from Houston. So how cool was that? But guys, it was absolutely amazing. And to say that Strasburg, all of that bubble wrap early on in his career, guys, it all led to that moment last night. They finally completely unbubble wrapped him. No more excuses. I don't know a person, a Washington Nationals fan, Dane, that's been around from the beginning who watched those guys lose to the Cardinals in the National League Championship Series because they shut him down. I think in one game last night, all was forgiven with how they handled Strasburg through his entire career because 8 1/3 innings, 2 runs, and gives them everything they needed in order to set up a game 7 and be ready for not where they're mixing and matching. Unbelievable. Strasburg delivered 5-0 in the postseason, Dane. I don't know that it gets any better than what we've seen from him this year.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right there, Joe. Good morning, Joe. Good morning, degenerates. Let's make it rain. Let's cock-a-doodle do it. What a game, Joe. Absolutely ridiculous, okay? I'm trying to go over the stories to see, like, which one you would name as the headline first. You know what I mean? And there were so many things to choose from. You talk about Rendon and Strasburg. I'll submit Juan Soto as someone who also, you know, the moment is not too big for him. But we talk about it, obviously. I thought it was real interesting, the Bregman and Soto, like, not bat flips, but hand the bat to the first base coach when they were going around tit for tat. But you're right. Steven Strasburg is the headline story here. 104 pitches. He goes 8 1/3 innings. He gets, you know, hit up a little bit in the first inning. And I don't know if you saw this, Joe. The pitching coach, Paul Menhart, told him in the dugout after the first inning that he was tipping his pitches. It seems like everybody's tipping their pitches against the Houston Astros. It seems like Strasburg was doing it. He said afterwards he would shake his glove a little bit more in innings 2 and on, and he only gave up 3 hits after that. But, you know, from the idea of them shutting him down and not pitching in the playoffs to quote-unquote save him because they thought they would be there every year, to now on what could be his last start as a Washington National, remember him and Garrett Cole are free agents in the offseason, to them letting him empty the tank, go back out there for the 9th, and get through 8 1/3. It was an incredible game between Strasburg's performances, the home runs back and forth, and we haven't even gotten to the Trey Turner play yet in the 7th inning, Joe.
Yeah, it was filled. Any one of those storylines on their own would have been, you know, enough to be able to carry the game and carry the excitement into game 7. But it was, you had, you know, 4 or 5 different things happening in that game last night, all within a 9-inning game that proves once again the baseball gods have a very unique way of making the universe all correct. And it doesn't take a all week, a lie. Month, a year. It only takes within 9 innings. And whether it's Bregman or Soto, what goes around comes around. In the game of baseball, it has for over 115 years, guys. It's just a very unique sport from that standpoint where you don't have to get them next year. Usually, you know, when a team gets really hosed, it comes back at some point within those 9 innings. And it had a lot of that last night. And we'll get into the umpires and Joe Torre and everything else that happened in that 7th inning.
The audio in the dugout was incredible.
Yeah, Joe. Let us not forget, guys, that the other big storyline last night was there was a dude warming up in the bullpen named Max Scherzer, who will now be ready to rock and roll here tonight in Game 7 for the Nationals. They only had to use one relief pitcher last night, that being Sean Doolittle, who, by the way, is the least used of all the guys in the bullpen. So he, too, will be ready to go tonight, as will Patrick Corbin. All hands will be on deck for the Nationals as well as the Astros. Greinke will toe the line. And early lines right now, we had talked around maybe minus 150, minus 160 yesterday for the Astros. A little less than that, minus 125, minus 130 is what we're seeing somewhere around, you know, maybe about 10 or 15 cents more than what the Nats are at this particular point. But I got to say, man, I didn't check the series price yet, or I don't know if there was anything left there. But we told you yesterday, guys, grab the 6-1 while you could, because a game 7, it's a coin flip. And I think it'll eventually get there, Dane. I think it'll be maybe minus 110 on both sides, possibly. But they're still going to give credit to the Astros and the home team. But
FanDuel
why?
Has it minus 140. FanDuel has it minus 140.
There you go. Guys, they haven't won a home game yet. Neither team has won a home game. You would think the edge is to the away team here. Records upon records. We got the audio. We'll let you hear it if you missed it. We'll dive into the NFL as well. Storylines galore coming up next here. Let's make it rain.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What's up? I'm Laura Carenti.
And I'm Alexa Kristen. We're the co-hosts of Adlandia, the advertising industry's most thought-provoking podcast. We are here with Lisa Bradner, GM of Analytics, and Teddy Jaudi, Head of Product from Yieldmo.
So we're here to talk with Lisa and Teddy about making attention actionable. Let's start from the top. What is Yieldmo?
Yieldmo is a next generation marketplace powered by attention analytics, superior formats, and real-time data. We were really trying to say, how do we connect this ecosystem and make everything flow? I like to step back and say, all right, great, we've built the infrastructure, but let's talk about what we're putting through those pipes.
That's what we try to do at Yieldmo. Is we try to, you know, there's great technology out there. You can buy ads and serve them anywhere, but what is actually making an impact? And we focus on trying to allow marketers to see that.
Always have to be listening for that surprise signal that signals an opportunity you may not be thinking about. And our agile data structure allows our brands to work with us to do just that.
Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Adlandia Podcasts and listen to Adlandia on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Bowen Yang here, and if you're as excited as I am about the upcoming fourth season of Search Party on HBO Max, then you'll want to tune in to Search Party, the podcast. I'm sitting down with the creators and stars of the dark comedy to delve deeper into the disturbing world inhabited by Dory, Drew, Elliot, and Portia. And to help us discuss Search Party's most prominent themes, we're inviting a very special celebrity fan to join each chat, folks like Paul Scheer, Vanessa Bayer, Busy Phillips, Taryn Killam, and Carrie Brownstone, among many others. I couldn't be more excited to talk with these folks about one of my favorite shows on TV. So join us as we review classic moments, share behind-the-scenes anecdotes, and analyze the complex characters and unpredictable plot lines that make the series oh so much fun. Search Party Season 4 comes to HBO Max on January 14th. Meanwhile, be sure to subscribe to Search Party, the podcast, which premieres December 14th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Seven. What you got going on there, guys? You have a unbelievable game six win by the Washington Nationals. Everything that they needed to have happen happened, giving us and setting up what is going to be an absolutely epic game seven situation when Max Scherzer will be taking the mound, isn't it? And again, we talked about it, Dane, that the baseball gods have a funny way of working. Here we are thinking this poor guy is going to, you know, they're doomed. He couldn't start game five. He's probably done. Now they've lost him. What happens? Well, you know, they lost him for game five, but you know what? They've got him for game seven, and he's got, I would imagine he's got more needles stuck in him than a horse on Breeders' Cup weekend here. He is going to have a lot of stuff pumping through his veins, ready to rock and roll here tonight. And Zach Greinke on the other side, guys. Let's not forget Zach. Zach Greinke will be going, and I am sure they will have to. AJ Hinch, if it comes to it, will have to defend himself from Gerrit Cole wanting to get into this game at some point here tonight if they need him. It'll be all hands on deck, which is exactly, Dane, in this World Series. Quite honestly, I don't know that you'd want it anyplace else. We've never seen a World Series where not one home team won a game. Not one team won a home game. Everything has been away. It's the first time it's ever happened. If the Nationals win tonight, they too will set another record. They will be the first team to ever win a World Series having never won a game at home. And it's crazy to think 115 World Series and we've never had this happen. It really is truly unique. Also, when you look at the numbers, guys, let me just the Astros were 60-21 at home this year in the regular season. They were 5-1 at home in the postseason going into the World Series.
Right.
They're now 0-3 at home right now. I can't tell you how crazy it is that we're even having this conversation, but I do think, and we've talked about this all throughout the series, Dane, on how, you know, there's no substitute for experience, grit, and having your back up against the wall, right? And we had talked about the Nationals. That was the fourth time they faced elimination these playoffs. Three of the four times they have been able to stave off the elimination, they did so because Strasburg was on the mound. But they were, that was a very familiar spot to them. And we had always said, the thing with the Astros is, what kind of, you know, when did they get pushed? Like, when did they ever, they went to a game five with Tampa, but quite honestly, you had Verlander, you were the better team. You were going to win that game anyway, and you blew them out. But this is all year long. I mean, this Nationals team for only winning 19 of the first 50 games to making that run at the end, all they have ever done is get their backs up against the wall, Dane, and deliver. And they did it again. Now, unfortunately, if they don't win, nobody will ever remember that. But it's worth mentioning that this team has performed at its best when its back has been up against the wall.
Yeah, and listen, I talked about this going into the playoffs, right? These are one of those teams that were going through, you know, had like five teams fighting for two spots within four games of each other. You know, yeah. I talked about how they were hot. I talked about how they bounced back. I talk about how they've won in a lot of different ways. You know, before this, before losing three in a row at home, the Nationals were something like 18-2 in their last 20, and they were doing it with pitching. They were doing it with timely hitting. They were doing it with the emergence of their 21-year-old stud Juan Soto. So absolutely, it does bear witness, you know, and yesterday also, Joe, I mean, we have the bat flip home runs. We have the Trey Turner play, which we're going to hear the audio of. We have Davey Martinez almost having another actual heart attack on the field, right? But let's also check, Joe, on what we've been looking at all series. What do you know? The Houston Astros hitless with runners in scoring position last night. And it's not like Altuve didn't have a chance. It's not like they didn't have runners on second and third. And the Nationals do get two hits with runners in scoring position. Clutch hits, the Rendon homer to tack on in the seventh. And that's another difference. That speaks, Joe, to, like you're saying, the spirit of this team. They keep battling. It doesn't matter. You run out Ross when Scherzer goes down. You know, I mean, that's the way these guys will play. And win or lose tonight, I think you are correct. And I wonder what Bryce Harper is thinking about this, because this energy, right, Joe, this feeling that their toughness, that's something they didn't have when they had a $300 million man, but they're ready to go tonight. I will say, Joe, we got to see how Max Scherzer wakes up, because backs are a tricky thing. He could feel great yesterday after the shot. But we'll see how he wakes up tonight. I will say this. There's going to be a lot of, you know, cortisone flowing. And there'll be a lot of Zoloft flowing for Zach Greinke as well. Are those PEDs?
Yeah, it's a good it's a good point there.
Cortisone and Zoloft, are those not like PEDs? Because those are going to be coursing through our starting pitchers for Game 7's veins tonight, Joe.
I think they figured out the certainly the right dosage level for both, so I think they'll both be ready to rock and roll. There won't be any excuses here tonight. He'll be ready to go. He won't feel anything until, of course, tomorrow. And at that point, he can lay in bed for the next 6 months. Nobody's going to give a crap. But he will be ready to rock and roll, and it's a fitting end. It's exactly the way it should be. And, you know, whether they planned it or they didn't, and I'm telling you, they didn't plan it. Having Scherzer, I don't know anybody would have thought we'd have at this point. This was going to be, things had gone normally and there was a game seven, this would have been a mixed mashup of guys for the Nationals, you know, the Corbins of the world. Give me Annabelle. Like, instead, we're getting Scherzer in a game seven against Greinke. That's just the way it worked out. And I think that's exactly baseball gods. That's what they wanted. Give us two number ones going at each other, ready to go. And as good as Strasburg was, I mean, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention just how bad Verlander has been in the World Series, guys. This is now 0-6 in World Series starts and decisions here. He was the first guy to ever lose his first five, and which is amazing when you think of the Hall of Fame career he's had. But now this is number six. And while, listen, three runs and three earned runs, it's not terrible, but we're talking about Verlander. We're not talking about Joe Ross. We're not talking about Annabelle Sanchez. Justin Verlander to be 0-6 and have close to a 6 ERA is mind-blowing to me, Dan. And it won't affect his Hall of Fame-ness, obviously. No. But damn, dude, he is... You know, he's not one of those guys that, you know, you're looking apparently for some reason. I don't know what it is, but 0-6 is 0-6.
It is. And you're right. Like, I mean, he went out there and threw five and gave up three earned runs, right? Like, if this was a Tuesday in July, no one would be say anything about it, you know. But in this series, when we've been talking about Strasburg and Scherzer and Cole and Greinke, and, you know, we've been saying that the starting pitching at any point in time can, you know, dominate and, you know, make everything else irrelevant. And Verlander did not hold up to his end of the bargain. You mentioned 0-6, Joe, and that's true. For me, and I've said it the whole time, for me, it's the fact that with these five innings, the man now has 258 on his arm for this season, and he's 36 years old. And I think it's not only the World Series. We saw his play drop in the entire playoffs. The Rays got to him early. The Yankees got to him early. And now Washington as well. So for me, I think it's just, you know, a guy in his mid-30s hitting the wall after 250-plus innings as opposed to the trend of all the World Series starts across his entire career. But he's done for the season now, too, so we'll see.
You can't have it both ways, guys. If you're backing Kershaw and you dismiss it, then you better dismiss what's going on with Verlander because you can't rip one without ripping the other anymore. All right, more on this game. Game 7 coming up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
These days, it feels like we're on 24/7. Between work, friends, family, and a million things piling up left and right, the nonstop hustle has taken over. And it's kind of a lot. Sure, Rise and Grind is all fine and dandy, but sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for a Coors Light. It's literally made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as refreshing and crisp as the Colorado Rockies, perfect for a moment to unwind. You know it's time to chill when the mountains on the cans and bottles turn blue. So when you want to hit reset, reach for Coors Light. The only beer that is mountain cold refreshment, made to chill. Don't feel like running to the store? Get Coors Light in their new look, delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company in Golden, Colorado encourages you to celebrate responsibly.
Are you a Henry? It stands for High Earner, Not Rich Yet. It means that despite earning a six-figure income, you're struggling to amass any meaningful nest egg. Our friends at The Motley Fool can help. Since 1993, they've been providing investment advice, helping members build the financial future they envision. To kickstart your 2021 financial goals, they're offering five of their favorite stock picks for free. Realizing you're a Henry? Remember the not rich yet part. You can do it, and The Motley Fool can help. Visit fool.com/best bets.
All right, it is a game seven, guys, so it is definitely time for you to get in the game with a DraftKings Sportsbook account. And listeners of this show, you guys can get a deposit bonus of up to $500. Here's how it works. You create a DraftKings Sportsbook account. You make a deposit. Then you place your first bet. DraftKings, they'll match it with a 50% bonus of up to $500. Now, the offer is eligible to all users, plus new users. You guys get a risk-free bet of up to $200. Just head over to sportsgrid.com/DK to play. That's sportsgrid.com/DK. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 and over. New Jersey only. Eligibility restrictions apply. Check out the website for details. And welcome in here to Make It Rain on this Wednesday, October the 30th. As the month winds down, November just around the corner, Halloween. It's amazing that we are at this point, week nine of the NFL. The trade deadline came and went yesterday. Not like there wasn't a whole lot of drama for a lot of teams and players there yesterday. Ultimately, it did come and it did go without a, you know, kind of a whimper. But we'll talk about what did happen yesterday. World Series, of course, game seven tonight, which is going to be awesome. He is Dane Martinez. I'm Joe Ranieri. And we've got... Yeah, we got a game seven that barely, but we got it if it wasn't for the baseball gods walking in and interfering with the outcome of that game last
interference.
Night. Interference. Yes, interference. So the big drama, and I don't know that Joe Torre has lucked out like he lucked out last night. Thank you, Anthony Rendon. But the play was in the seventh inning, and this is what it sounded like on the broadcast when, and even you'll hear it in Joe Buck's voice too as well.
That's a tough play for Peacock. And safe at first, ball gets away, and the runners will advance to second and third. And now they're gonna call the runner out for being inside the line and in the way of the throw, and we're going to get an argument now as Dave Martinez is furious.
I have never seen in one play in a game before where the entire world, all at least in the gambling Twitter world, all agreed on the same, all saw it the same way and the same damn thing, where they all thought that play and that call was total Mickey Mouse, Bush League, minor league, A-ball kind of crap. Not what you would get at game six of a major league game. It all came down to Trey Turner was ruled to have interfered with the first baseman there, knocked his glove off, couldn't catch the ball. So that's why they called him out. Now it is, as we had come to find out, Dane, it's a judgment call by the umps there.
Apparently.
And a judgment call comes with a whole lot of set of rules, other rules that apparently the umpires didn't know. And that's the big problem here with all of this, is that the rule itself makes total sense. All right. I understand the rule. There's nothing wrong with the rule of you can't interfere with a first baseman trying to make a play. We get it, right? That's not the problem. The problem was it being implemented in this play. That was the Bush League, because A, he was safe. He was there before the ball was there. So it makes it very hard to have an argument that he interfered with the first baseman where he was already on the bag before the first baseman was able to make the catch or didn't make the catch. You're rewarding a bad throw by calling that, by the way. You made the call, and then you spent 5 minutes with headsets on reviewing it. But like Dane, like we learned, the play's not reviewable. So why in the world would you take 5 minutes leave the pitcher on the mound to sit there and wait for you to come back and go, yeah, guys,
like
by the way, he's
a home run.
Yeah, he's out. Yeah, he's out, guys. But we're sorry we wasted 5 minutes of your time and let the pitcher get cold, because his next pitch, guys, the very next pitch from that pitcher, all right, ended up going like this.
And Rendon shoots one in the left. Back at the wall, it is gone. Anthony Rendon. And the lead is 3 here in the seventh inning for the Nationals. It's 5-2.
Now that was the baseball gods, Dane, going, all right, you know what I mean? Let's make sure this doesn't get out of hand. But you notice the other thing that stuck out to me was the fact that even the Houston Astros players knew that was Busch League.
Yeah, Gurriel was laughing. Did you see
that? They knew it was, they got away with murder there. Now, unfortunately, it didn't eventually have the effect that it could have. But again, World Series Game 6, not a Tuesday night in June or March or April, guys. World Series Game 6, you can't make that call as a home plate umpire, man. You just can't do it. Did you see anything that was out of line there? Any interference?
So no, to answer your question, but there's a lot of things at play here, Joe. Okay, there really, really is. Okay, first of all, I think you framed it great. Like, who did it really screw? We thought it was going to screw the Nationals, and it turned out to screw the Astros because, like you said, the next pitch after the 10-minute delay, boom, right? So ultimately, like you said, Rasheed Wallace always said, ball don't lie, and that's what this was. But, and you're right, Gurriel was laughing. The Astros knew it. I think what was interesting to me was that, honestly, Joe, for 5 minutes, I thought that what the call in question was that Trey Turner was out of the baseline. That's what I thought the call was at first. That's what I thought they were reviewing for like 5 minutes. Okay. Then it comes out that what they were actually reviewing was the interference with Gurriel, right? And then it comes out that's a judgment call, that they can't actually be reviewing that. So it's like, wait a second. Well, then what are they reviewing? Then we hear afterwards that no, it was actually the Nationals wanted to file a protest, and they were on the horn with New York to find out that no, you can't protest that because it's a judgment call. All the while, the Fox audio is getting Trey Turner in the dugout, literally sunning Joe Torre, like live, being like, yo, he's right there. Why has he got his head down? We don't need to go to New York. Joe Torre's right there. Let's just ask him, why does he have his head down? He doesn't want to show. He knows it, right? That was gold, Joe. That was hysterical. And Trey Turner was right. You know, it's a protest thing. It's not reviewable. He was right about that. It turns out that it is a judgment call. And Joe, I just disagree with the judgment. I agree with you. I disagree with the judgment. Like, in football, you know the DB has the same right to the ball when it's in the air as the wide receiver? That's what this was. This was literally Turner's last step. He was already lunging, and he was, you know, his left foot hits the dead center of the base. So he's not in line. It was a bad throw that Gurriel was reaching for, and Turner had it beat anyway. So now the way that MLB gets out of it is by calling it a judgment call. So we can't replay it. We have to make the umps look good. It was a judgment call. Can't do jack about it. But it was just a bad judgment. It was just a bad call. That's all it was. And then ball don't lie. Rendon saves the day.
The rule makes sense. Nobody's arguing the rule. All right. You can't, because we've seen guys run on the inside of the grass. Like, we've seen all of that going.
I get the rule.
But the
umpire just made the wrong judgment
of that rule at that moment, where you guys do realize it's impossible to be outside of the line and have to be able to touch the base. Like, there's no way you can't touch the middle of the base unless you at some point are straight lining it right through the base. Like, you can't be all the way to the right. Like, at some point, you got to get in line with the base in order to hit it. But, oh, yeah, he was safe before the ball got there. Like, he actually beat the throw, and the throw was bad. But what he did was, you rewarded a bad throw.
Bad throw.
That's what you did. You rewarded him, Peacock, for throwing the ball like a turd up the line. But he was safe regardless. And everything that happened after that moment was so amateur, I can't even begin to tell you that Nobody, people were scrambling. The guys downstairs were all like, I don't know what's going on. And this has always been my problem with baseball and review. If you're watching it on a Tuesday night, guys, and all of a sudden the guys are on the headsets, you have no idea. Like, you have zero idea what the hell they're discussing. And then all of a sudden they just make a call and they go back. And you're like, what? There's no interaction with the audience whatsoever. And it's even got to be even worse for the people in the stands, because they had no idea what was going on either. We knew it because we were watching TV and we got it on the broadcast. But the people in the stands,
because they were saying it was a baseline thing, Joe. Joe Buck was saying it was a baseline thing. Yeah. You know, they thought that the call in question was the baseline, and they were like, look, he seems to be running inside, blah, blah, blah. And then they didn't even realize that it was interference as the call, not a baseline call. I mean, you're right. If you're in the stands, you're sitting there for 10 minutes with
no clue.
You
don't know what the hell you're doing.
But even us on the broadcast.
Coming down. Yeah,
we were misinformed on the broadcast, though.
Yep,
you know,
exactly
they
correct.
It was the baseline call that was being reviewed. And it turns out that's not what was going on. It was the interference and a protest, and they were on the headset really to clarify that they were not allowed to protest. That's what the umps were actually on the phone with, or at least the story that Joe Torre is going with at this point in time.
Yeah. Which is also not what we were told. We were told they were confirming the rule with New York that, in fact, it was a judgment call, and
judgment
that, yes, the rule is if you interfere with the guy. But yeah, no. And then it kept changing by the time the end of the game come, and Joe Torre's like, no, it was the right call. No, it wasn't the right call. That's the whole point. Anytime you have a judgment call like that, if it's not clear as day, he basically called it because he lost his glove. That was why he called
it. It looked more dramatic because the glove
flew off. Exactly correct. But somebody at that point has to step in and go, no, he was already safe. Like, the first base umpire's got to go, no, he beat the throw regardless. Like, so it That's really like, doesn't make a difference. He was there. But, you know, who did have, was clearing it up for us last night on social media, which was great. Kate Upton had something to say on social media. I'll show you, because thank goodness Kate Upton's not biased at all. She had the perfect explanation for it. We'll let you see that. Along with just Kate Upton. Maybe I'll just show you Kate Upton. Forget about what she said. But that's coming up here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's no secret that our current healthcare system is broken. We're often taught to avoid the doctor unless we're already sick. This is where Forward comes in. Forward doctors deliver personalized insights to put you on the path to better health. And they're based right here in the San Francisco Bay Area. Forward doctors actually spend time listening and getting to know you. Using real-time blood results and genetic analysis, they build a preventative plan with you to mitigate any health risk. And the best part? Forward doctors make it easy by guiding you through small changes to your lifestyle today to achieve long-term results. With the latest technology and tools, Forward's high-caliber team of doctors deliver cutting-edge preventative care. Whether it's finding the root cause of a new problem, managing a condition, or building a plan to achieve your wellness goals, at Forward, your healthiest self is just around the corner. Better yet, Forward doctors help you find exactly what your genes say about your health. It's time to listen to what your body is telling you. Go to GoForward.com today to get the insights you need to put you on the path to better health. That's GoForward.com.
I want people to think about the healthcare workers. You know, we can say, I'll take the risk. I'll get on a plane and go see my family for Thanksgiving because that's important to me. I'll take the risk. If I get sick, it'll be fine. The problem with that is that you don't have a choice if you're going to get sick or not. And maybe you won't get sick, but you don't have a choice as to who you'll infect. And we don't have a choice if they'll die or they'll live.
That's Fiona Tulip, a grieving daughter who lost her mother to COVID-19. Fiona wants to make sure her mother, a Latina frontline worker from Texas, is more than just a number scrolling on the newsfeed.
We've got to think about the people who are working and risking their lives to save our lives. And we have to remember that we don't have a choice into how this virus acts. We can't choose whether it infects us or infects someone else, and we can't choose if we stay alive or if we die.
I'm Justin Beck, founder and CEO of Contact World. Listen to Contact World, the podcast, on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So a big shout out to Kate Upton for clearing it up on social media last night, what exactly had happened in the game. And of course, Kate is not biased at all, not like she's, married to Justin Verlander or anything. But she was nice enough to post this. And maybe the best part about this, Dane, too, is that this was sent to me last night by Sean G, right?
Sean G.
Yeah, it's obvious, as you can tell from the picture, he had this on his phone and he took a screenshot. But I'm just curious, like, I follow a lot of people on Twitter, but like, I don't get notifications for like when Kate Upton posts anything. The fact that this popped up on his phone and he screenshotted it, like, what in the world at that moment would make you go, I wonder what Kate Upton's got to say? But that's we'll take that up with Sean later. Yeah. But she was trying to clear this up, going, you know what? He wasn't within the base pass. And this was great, the old passive-aggressive, those who don't know comment there.
Right.
She then goes on to say, I don't know, because she doesn't know why the review is taking so long, which was back to our point, Dane. Nobody does in baseball. Like, nobody, not even the broadcasters, forget about the people at the stadium, not even the broadcasters could get a clear, precise understanding of what they were talking to New York at the headset in, because during that 5 minutes, I honestly thought, like, New York's going to get this call right. They're going to overturn it. They're good to go, right? I mean, that's,
I thought they were debating. The debate was like, we can't make this call. We can't have this be the call.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because there was nothing. And by the way, she's wrong on everything about this post, okay? You don't have to be within those two little lines there, darling. I don't know what to tell you here, Kate. That's not the rule. That's not what was going on. And we've seen this. Dan, if you'd have seen that on a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night, right, in June, would that ever in a million years have been called? Probably
not. Absolutely
not. Right. There was nothing egregious with it. But no, you don't have to run inside the two white lines. No. Like, no. But thanks for participating, Kate. And it turns out that not even the umpires, and maybe this is the most disheartening thing, Dane, because I, in a million years, never, ever thought any other professional sport would be able to make the NFL refs look like geniuses. And that's exactly what Major League Baseball and the umpires did last night. They made NFL refs look like, because even NFL refs are like, see, and you thought we were bad. Like, that was in a game 6 of a World Series. If that would have turned out any differently, which it might have, we'd be having Joe Torre would be having, he might have quit by this morning without having to deal with that S storm. And I don't blame Davey Martinez, because he was told, guys, that he put in the thing and said, I'm protesting this game. They said okay to him. Then they had to come back in between the inning and say, by the way, yeah,
that's what he was arguing,
crap.
Right?
Yeah, we can't.
They disallowed his protest. That's what he was allowed.
He went ballistic. Right. Told him yes, then you told him no. Like, all you did for 20 minutes was screw with Dave Martinez and the National. That's all you did in that 20 minutes, because the umps aren't even sure what the rule is. So if you're not sure what the rule is, how do you go ahead and make a call like that? It beyond me. In a World Series game, beyond me.
In that spot, in game 7, in the 7th inning of a one-run game.
Yeah,
if Houston came back and won that game 4-3, I have no idea what we would be talking about this morning. I really don't,
this
Joe.
This is two games in a row now. Are we not a conversation
the robot umps
about
the umps? Strike zone?
Yeah, the guy with there the night before who
but
blamed
robot
the catcher.
Umps, listen.
By the way, blamed the catcher of the Nationals for it being a ball, and the catcher was like, Gomes is like, it's my fault? Like, it's my fault you suck and you missed a call?
But here's the thing, Joe. Robot umps wouldn't change this, because this was a judgment call.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And we have to clear this up again. You know, Kate Upton saying this, the whole world was wrong, okay?
Yeah.
The call was not that Trey Turner was out of the baseline. That right. was not the call. That is not why Trey Turner was ruled out. Okay? That has to be stated over and over again. Yep. You, me, Joe Buck, Kate Upton, the whole world thought that that's what was at issue and that's what was being replayed. That is incorrect. Okay? The call, as we are led to believe, as Joe Torre told us after the game, the call was that Trey Turner interfered with Gurriel trying to make the catch, and that is a judgment call which cannot be reviewed, okay? I just think it was a bad judgment. And here is the rule, Joe. 5.09A-11. Not in terms of the baseline, but in terms of interference, Joe. And the runner has to, here's a word, intentionally make contact. That didn't happen, Joe. Nope. And that it's okay to make contact when you are lunging at the base in your last step. Like, all bets are off on the last step. Trey Turner was clearly in his final lunge. And the word intentional is what does it for me. Oh, he didn't intentionally make contact. The throw drew Gurriel into the base path, and it was, you know, it was incidental contact, right?
That's
and
correct.
So that is what I believe was the bad judgment. It's not a misapplication of the rule. The rule is in place. It's just that the rule never gets called, okay? I understand why the rule is in place. This was just a bad judgment because there was no intentional contact.
Right.
And it was like the last step in the last lunge. That is why interference there was a bad judgment call. This has nothing to do with the baseline.
Zero. Absolutely zero. And again, we've seen much. You talk about egregious guys. We've seen guys run on the inside grass. Okay.
Yeah.
We've seen everything from guys like that was absolutely not base path related. And he beat the throw. That was the other thing nobody wanted to talk about, which I would have thought would have been a great question to Torre. Like, Joe, what do you do when he's already safe? Like, he beat the throw. You're talking about something that happened after he had already touched the base. So, like, what? That still applies? He was safe. It doesn't make a difference if the glove fell off at that point, does it?
Yep.
If you're safe,
and here's
you're
my
safe.
Also, Joe, you know what's interesting to me is, like, the NFC Championship game, we had the pass interference call, right? Mm-hmm. And I was saying right after that, I would really hate if football gets a little reactionary and they'd be able to replay that. And look at what we have now. On the post-game show, I saw a Big Poppy, and he was like, listen, people do this all the time. We have to get better clarity on this. In the winter meetings, they're going to have to whatever. I fear, Joe, that we're going to get some weird rule in the winter meetings in December or January being like, oh, like some new rule about running in the base paths, because people are right. In July, they said this happens all the time, okay? And it's unclear. You see people veering in. And let me tell you something, Joe. When I was a kid, I played some catcher. I was taught that if a guy's running in the middle of the baseline on like a bunt or whatever and he's running inside, you know what you do? You put one in his ear hole. You drill the runner. That's the way I was taught, Joe.
Mm-hmm. You always, always do that, Dane. Like, nothing has changed in a million years of baseball.
That's what I was taught. If he's running inside the baseline, you drill the runner and then it'll be marked
exactly
out for being
correct.
Out of the baseline.
Exactly correct. But again, if you have to understand at some point, guys, you have to veer back. You have to hit that base in a straight line. Like, you can't come at it. If you're too far inside, you can't get to the base. So at some point, you've got to be in the baseline.
Right down the middle of the base.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a bad call.
You're going to have to do it. Physics won't allow you to be able to be inside the base and touch the middle of the base. It's not going to happen, guys. You can't be by the coach's box and touch the middle of the base. You got to be in the base path. But it's the implementing it and the nerve of the guy, really, to me, to just sit there and call that and then make that call and think what? No, but that was it? Like, what? There was, and then you didn't even know that it couldn't be. I mean, it was everything that happened after that was a comedy of errors, which led to eventually, and you're right, we all thought it might bite Washington in the air like this, but it ended up screwing Houston anyway. And Houston, guys, you watched the reaction, which every player on there, they all knew it was Bush League. Every one of them knew it. They were actually laughing, like, wow, that was a bad call. Like, wow, that was not. it was Bush League. And did you notice, by the way, you didn't see Hinch or anybody else coming out there going, nope, hey, give the guys some warm-up pitchers or something, did you? That's... No. Nobody. Yeah, nobody. So the ball doesn't lie. And then eventually in the ninth, just to put his stamp on it, he hits that two-run double there to blow it open 7-2. All in all, guys, first five, plus 160 if you had it there, plus 150, 160. You got the Nats. Full game, you got the Nats, plus 160, 165. The over also hits there last night. It was hammering back and forth between 7 and 7.5. If it was 7, the over was getting hammered with juice. If it was 7.5, they did the same thing on the under. None of that mattered because ultimately when you score 9 runs, that's more than 7 or 7.5. The over cashed tonight, game 7. You've got yourself minus 140, Dane, somewhere around there, and plus 120 for the Nats. Is that what we're hovering around?
Correct. And you know, and it's interesting, real quick, Joe.
Where's the
about
total
an hour
at,
ago,
though? Is the total
the
at
series
7? Or...
number was different than the game 7 number. They have since corrected it.
Yeah, well, it's different across. There's a lot of places like that right now that the discrepancy is ridiculous. Is it 7?
It should be the same
or
exact number.
Or is it 7.5?
Yes.
Which one?
Seven and a half.
It's 7.5.
It'd be 7.5, but the under has the juice at 125, minus 125.
So we could be seeing, it's going to go down. So it's going to do the same thing there with Scherzer and Granke. So it's, you got to get in on that depending on what you guys want to do. Now, where is the series now opening up at?
It's the same. So the game, at least on FanDuel, the game is Houston minus 138, Washington plus 120, and the series price is the same exact number. Literally an hour ago, though, Joe, the game 7 number was like Houston minus, you know, say Houston minus 138. But for the series, Houston was like minus 150. And I was like, wait,
exactly. Same thing.
It's
I've seen that now.
The same exact number at this point.
I've seen that in four different books now across the world, the globe, that are going,
I know,
wait
that
a minute.
I know that the internal staff of FanDuel, I know that they look at this now at 7:15 a.m. and that's when they reset this stuff because that's when it changed.
They
so if you
want to
get it before 7:15 a.m. Early bird catches the worm against FanDuel, 7:15 Eastern time.
Not just them. There were a lot of places that you could have hit the play button there and you'd have gotten yourself a whole lot of value. So it does seem to be working itself out. But again, if you picked it up yesterday, yesterday was great value with the 6-1, the opportunity to back the Nationals, because even at plus 160 on the money line, it was, you know, you were going to sprinkle a little something on there, but you had to correlate that bet. You had to take the Nationals. If you thought they were going to win last night and you did not pay, bet the series, I don't know what you guys are thinking here, man, because game 7, anything can happen. Even if Scherzer wasn't available, it's a game 7. There is absolutely zero statistical data, Dane, showing us that a game 7 actually favors one team or the other. There is actually nothing when it comes to do or die game 7s in Major League Baseball. There is no clear edge. There's been 10 instances since 2005 where we've gotten to this point in the series in the postseason. Dogs have won 5 of them, guys. Favorites have won 5. Road teams, by the way, 5-5. So there's really, there's zero edge. It's split down the middle in a game 7. That's what we were telling you yesterday. Like, guys, it is a coin flip in a game 7. So it, we got 10 games, Dane, showing us, you know what? 5-5, man. That's it. 5-5.
You know the term, throw it all out the window. I don't care about the trends or the stats at this point tonight. I'm going to be just on what I think is going to happen. It's one game for all the marbles, Joe. Who knows what's going to go down?
It's a coin flip, guys. Let's hope it doesn't come down to the...
They're the two best teams in baseball.
NFL season is now upon us, and you can become the 8th person to win $1 million in a FanDuel DraftKings tournament by setting their lineups using the DailyRotor.com DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy sports and not using DailyRotor.com, you're doing it wrong. Sign up now for the NFL access with a faster optimizer, smarter DFS projections, and better results. Enter promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. DailyRotor.com, where millionaires are made.
When markets change, leaders must reinvent. We all know that's more important than ever. Sales Disruptors is a brand new podcast from Exactly. the global leader in helping businesses reinvent the way they manage sales. Join us for candid conversations with global business leaders on how to thrive no matter what the market throws at you. Sales Disruptors. Download today on Spotify or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. What do we mean by sales disruptors? Well, it's today's business leaders sharing their experience on how they manage through change. Like,
so this is a great opportunity to sharpen your tools. In a down market where you're not making a lot of big changes, there's an opportunity to go back and clean up things that need attention. Everything has wear and tear, so there's a great opportunity to go back and get caught up.
Tune in to Sales Disruptors, an Exactly podcast on Spotify or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Sorry to Mattress Mac there, who lost a couple million dollars there last night because he got greedy. Degenerate gambler he is. Guy went from being a marketing genius to now he's just betting millions of dollars every chance he gets on the Astros. Like, dude, slow down here, man. But he did. He got bit last night. He dropped $1.3 million on a pair of bets money line last night. He took the Astros at minus 172. In game six, and yeah, he lost, but now he's got $11 million riding on tonight's game, and will they or won't they? Now, I don't know. I don't think we are privy to if he has any. I know he's got insurance, obviously, for some of that, but I'm not sure what the other hedge bets are here, Dane. He hasn't listed them all. We do know he's got $9 million
on the Nats tonight.
I don't know what he's got ahead, but it wouldn't surprise me, this guy, because he apparently can't help himself. He's dropping million-dollar bets. He's been doing it since all of October in the postseason. Yeah. But I got to think, knowing Scherzer's on a mound tonight, you think he drops an extra? You think he doubles down on the money line tonight in this game?
No, I mean, I think his outlay is good at this point. I mean,
yeah.
More power to him. More power to him, Joe. I mean, this is his ad budget for the rest of his life, right? He's getting all the pub he needs, win or lose. Mattress Matt and whatever his mattress store is going to be a damn landmark. You don't think he's going to be the official furniture store of the Houston Astros next season? I mean, come on. You know, but
not them, the Texans, everybody.
Everybody, right? But no, I don't think he goes to the well again. I think he watches this game by himself in his basement, secluded, and we'll see if he pops out tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily sure because, you know, people are trying to frame this guy like, oh, well, you know, he's a great sports bettor. Like, no, he's not.
No, he's
like,
not.
What he is he's a media whore who's got more money to piss away on bets than any
of
us.
He's got 20 million of discretionary income and wants a little bit of buzz is what he wants.
Yeah, it doesn't mean he's a great handicapper, guys. It just means that he's a good marketer. That's what he is. But he's also a degenerate gambler. Like, call it
for
what it is.
They should have, like, an ISO cam on him or something.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Dane? He does everything we tell you not to do. Don't bet with your heart. Don't bet with your gut. Bet the numbers. He's just betting the Astros because that's where his business is. Okay. Hour two coming up.
These days, the hustle's nonstop. When you need to unwind, reach for a Coors Light. It's the only beer that's literally made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. You know it's time to chill when the mountains on the cans and bottles turn blue. Don't feel like running to the store? Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. So kick back with Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Coors Brewing Company in Golden, Colorado encourages you to celebrate responsibly.
Are you a Henry? It stands for high earner, not rich yet. It means that despite earning a six-figure income, you're struggling to amass any meaningful nest egg. Our friends at The Motley Fool can help. Since 1993, they've been providing investment advice, helping members build the financial future they envision. To kickstart your 2021 financial goals, they're offering five of their favorite stock picks for free. Realizing you're a Henry? Remember the not rich yet part. You can do it, and The Motley Fool can help. Visit fool.com/bestbets.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Granger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.